So this week's parasha, Ki Tavo, meaning when you come, opens with the mitzvah of first fruits, the bringing of the first fruits of produce the land has provided to the place where the Lord would choose to have his name dwell. This mitzvah was to begin after Bnei Israel had taken possession of the land. So at the time that it was given, when it was being given to the people, they couldn't fulfill it. It would be some time before they could, perhaps a generation before the people could actually fill this particular mitzvah. I mean, they'd have to enter the land, they'd have to conquer the land, they'd have to settle the land, they'd have to plant the land, and they'd have to harvest it before they could actually see those first fruits of the promise. Now, the average Israelite would be a farmer, so this mitzvah applied to all the common people. It wasn't really for the priests or the leaders. This was for the common people. And the intention was individually they would bring the first fruits of their land. And they'd bring it to the Kohen, and this would be placed before the Lord, and there was a ceremony that went along with this. Now, in some Jewish calendars, you'll see a Moedim called Bikurim. That means first fruits. Usually this happens around the time of Pesach. There's sometimes debates on which actual day it is, but it's usually around the time of Pesach. But the actual mitzvah of Bikurim, it extends beyond a particular day. The commandment is not a specified date. It's not a Moedim. It is traditionally celebrated on a specific date, but the commandment is not date specific. It would apply to any of the multiple seasonal harvests that occurred in the land. Essentially, any time God provided you with something, you were obligated to, out of that abundance, to bring the first fruits offering to him. So there were some ceremonies that are surrounded Bikurim. This including Shekha, that's a Shin Chet He, that means to bow, prostrate, or worship before Adonai. And Samka, that's Shin, Mem, and Chet. That means joy, take joy, rejoice. You'll hear that same when we do Simcha Torah, joy in the Torah, same thing. It's this idea of Simcha, or joy, is what I want to talk about today, what I want to explore with you today. So please turn with me to Devarim 26, that's Deuteronomy 26, verse 1 on page 225. It's Devarim, or Deuteronomy 26:1 on page 225. And we're going to go through verse 11. When you have come to the land Adonai your God is giving you as your inheritance, taken possession of it, and settled there, you are to take the first fruits of all the crops the ground yields, which you will harvest from your land that Adonai your God is giving you. Put them in a basket and go to the place where Adonai your God will choose to have his name live. You will approach the Kohen, holding office at the time, and say to him, "Today I declare to Adonai your God that I have come to the land Adonai swore to our ancestors that he would give us." The Kohen will take the basket from your hand and put it down in front of the altar of Adonai your God. Then, in the presence of Adonai your God, you are to say, "My ancestor was a nomad from Aram. He went down into Egypt, few in number, and stayed. There he became a great, strong, populous nation. But the Egyptians treated us badly. They oppressed us and imposed harsh slavery on us. So we cried out to Adonai, the God of our ancestors. Adonai heard us and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. And Adonai brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and a stretched out arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. Now he has brought us to the place and given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, as you see, I have now brought the first fruits of the land which you, Adonai, have given me. You are then to put the basket down before Adonai your God, prostrate yourself before Adonai your God, and take joy in all the good that Adonai your God has given you, your household, the Levite, and the foreigner living with you. So after this description of Bikurim, there is a list of all the blessings and the curses that would result from obeying or disobeying the commandments of Torah. David read for us many of the curses this morning. These blessings of the Torah, they can be a great thing for us. And notice I said they can be a great thing for us. They're great for us if we respond to them properly. Believe it or not, there is a right way and a wrong way to respond to the blessings of Adonai. Do these blessings simply give us a greater appetite for consumption? Do we get something great and just want more of it? Do they inspire a sense of security and well-being? Do they just give us, you know, that safety blanket? Now I got enough money, I got enough food, I got a house, I'm good now. Do they give us a feeling of gratitude? Do you see the blessings of your material possessions as something you deserve for your hard work? Devarim 8:17 warns not to see these blessings as mine own power and strength of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. Do you even recognize all the blessings? Do you know when they're happening to you? Do you realize that being in the service of Adonai is a blessing? Do you respond to that privilege appropriately, or do you see it as a burden or an imposition on your life, getting in the way of your goals and your priorities? This was part of my problem this week. I was focused on the burden of things, and I didn't recognize the blessings. Do you see your service as Adonai rather for what it is? A privilege and a blessing that should be performed with joy. The promised blessing only comes by acknowledging that Adonai is the source of all blessing and serving him with joy and gladness in our heart. So in some ways, the blessings of Adonai actually can become a test for us, testing if we'll respond appropriately. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45 through 48 on 229. There's a great verse in here that is going to tell you exactly what I'm talking about. So Deuteronomy 28, verse 45 on page 229. All these curses will come on you, pursuing you and overtaking you until you are destroyed, because you didn't pay attention to what Adonai your God said, observing his mitzvot and regulations that he gave you. These curses will be on you and your descendants as a sign and a wonder forever. So that's pretty easy. You don't do what God says, he's going to curse you. We all understand that, right? But verse 47 says, because you didn't serve Adonai your God with joy and gladness in your heart when you had such an abundance of everything, Adonai will send your enemy against you, and you will serve him when you are hungry, thirsty, poorly clothed and lacking everything. He will put a yoke of iron around your neck until he destroys you. So we're learning there that service is not enough. Doing it is not enough. Doing it with joy and gladness is a requirement. I believe the Torah is teaching us here that a lack of joy and gladness in our hearts while serving Adonai can be classified as a sin. Doing the mitzvah isn't enough. They must be done with the right heart, the right kavanah, with joy. That's actually a terrifying thought if you think about it. You can be performing in the service of Adonai correctly in every respect, but you can still be sitting if you're treating it like it's a burden. Now, this doesn't mean that we'll never be sad or we'll never be angry. Life has its ups and downs. It has its good seasons and bad. But joy, this joy that Scripture is talking about, is a different thing than happiness. We tend to think that they're the same thing together, but they're actually not. Happiness is an emotion, a fleeting thing that comes and goes. Joy comes from a heart that's fixed on God and fixed on pursuing spiritual discipline in serving out of gratitude, not of fear. Serving God because you think you have to is legalism. That drives you away from a true relationship. Think about it. We can recite ancient words of prayer and liturgies just as those that have gone before us have. We're saying them to the same Almighty Provider. We celebrate the Moedim. We have the opportunity to bring holiness into our lives through the many beautiful rituals and observances. But we must not think of this, our service to Adonai, as a have to do it, but rather a we get to do it. God gives us these things as an opportunity, not a penalty. Think of it this way. Three times or more a day, we have an opportunity to honor God and set ourselves apart for holiness by what we choose to eat. We're not penalized three times a day because we can't have bacon in the morning, a ham sandwich for lunch, or ribs for dinner. We have an opportunity, not a penalty. If the president of the United States of America, probably the former president for most of you, invited you to his house every Saturday, would that be a blessing to you or a burden to you? The creator of the universe invites you into his house every Saturday. Is it a blessing or a burden to you? Do you have joy? Joy is obviously more than just happiness in life. And if it fails to become part of who we are, it can lead to destruction. So let's continue in Devarim 28. Let's go to verse 58. We're still on page 229. So that's Devarim 28, 58 on 229. It says, if you will not observe and obey all the words of this Torah that are written in this book, so that you will fear this glorious and awesome name, Adonai your God, then Adonai will strike you down and your descendants with extraordinary plagues and severe sickness that go on and on. He will bring back upon you all the diseases the Egyptians had, which you were in dread of, and they will cling to you. Not only that, but Adonai will bring upon you the sickness and plagues that are not written in this book of the Torah until you are destroyed. You will be left few in number, whereas you were once and as numerous as the stars in the sky, because you do not pay attention to the voice of Adonai your God. Thus it will come about that just as Adonai once took joy in seeking to do you good and increase your numbers, so now Adonai will take joy in causing you to perish and be destroyed. And you will not be plucked off the land you are entering in order to take possession of it. Adonai, who once took joy in you, will now take joy in your destruction. In part because you're not taking joy in your service to him. So we know that life is full of self-gratification and temporary happiness. But how do we find this joy, this vitally important joy that if we don't have it, we can be destroyed? The vast majority of the answers I'm about to give are found in Tehillim or Psalms. So we're going to be in that book a whole bunch. So let's start by, I'm going to read Tehillim or Psalm 16, verse 8 through 11. I don't have a page number for you, but that's Tehillim 16, verse 8 through 11. This is Psalms answering, where do we get this joy? Verse 8 says, I always set Adonai before me. With him at my right hand, I can never be moved. So my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my body too rests in safety. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not let your faithful ones see the abyss. You make me know the path of life. In your presence is unbounded joy. In your right hand, eternal delight. So this joy is found in and emanates from the presence of Adonai. Not something Adonai has given you, but in his presence. Joy can also be found in the manifestation of the gift of the Ruach. The Ruach HaKodesh has many fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Nothing in this Torah stands against such things. So we get this joy from an infilling of the Holy Spirit. We also find this joy in the knowledge of our salvation. That knowledge is an ongoing reason to embrace service to Adonai with gladness, joy, and thanksgiving. Getting saved is not a thing that happens to you. It's a thing that is happening to you constantly. That's the way you need to look at it. Yeshayahu 61:10 says, I am so joyful in Adonai, my soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me in salvation, dressed me with a robe of triumph, like a bridegroom wearing a festive turban, like a bride adorned with her jewels. For just as the earth brings forth its plants, or a garden makes its plants to spring up, so Adonai God will cause victory and glory to spring up before all nations. This is an allusion to Messiah and his salvation, obviously. The King of the universe has given you a job that has the greatest retirement plan imaginable. You can also find this joy when God saves you from your enemy. Tehillim 35, 4 through 9 says, may those who seek my life be disgraced and put to confusion. May those who are plotting harm for me be repulsed and put to shame. May they be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of Adonai to drive them on. May their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of Adonai to pursue them. For unprovoked they hid their net over a pit. Unprovoked they dug it for me. May destruction come over him unawares. May the net he concealed catch himself. May he fall into it and be destroyed. Then I will be joyful in Adonai. I will rejoice in his salvation. You can find joy in the Word of God. When you're hungry for God's Word, but not starving. That may sound crazy, but you may not understand that, but I'll get to that in a second. The Word of God should be a spiritual meal that you take every day, not a last resort. When it's a spiritual meal you take every day, it can give you joy. When it's simply a last resort, it will save you, but it's not necessarily going to bring you joy at that point. It's just going to get you out of trouble. Tehillim 119, 160 through 162 expresses a similar sentiment. It says, the main thing about your word is that it's true, and all your just rulings last forever. Princes persecute me for no reason, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I take joy in your promise like someone who finds much treasure. The word, when treated like treasure, brings joy. Joy comes from a restored relationship with Adonai. Luke 15, 4 through 7 tells us, if one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the other 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he does find it, he joyfully hoists it up on his shoulders. And when he gets home, he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, come, celebrate with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who turns to God from his sins than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repent. So we're in this month of Elul. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are right around the corner. And during this month of Elul and during the first part of the next month, Tishri, there are a traditional 40 days of repentance. Today, we are on day 21. So I would implore you to make the next 19 days of repentance count. Restore that relationship, and that can bring you joy. So far, all these things are good. All these things I've mentioned are good, and they're things that we would easily see as a blessing. But there can also be joy in things that we wouldn't normally see as a blessing. For example, there's joy in testing. In Yaakov or James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, regard it all as joy, my brothers, when you face various kinds of temptations. For you know that the testing of your trust produces perseverance. But let perseverance do its complete work so that you may be complete and whole, lacking nothing. Joy in testing. That's joy when bad things are happening to you. Why? How would that work? Because it shows God cares about you. It shows that he's building you. He's strengthening you. Trees grown in a greenhouse are very weak, and they die young because they were never tested by the wind. They never developed the strength or the perseverance in their trunks, and they eventually will collapse under their own weight. After a ship is built for the Navy and launched, the shipbuilder performs what they call sea trials. They run the ship at full throttle for a long way. They run it as hard as they go. They'll turn it all the way over to port and all the way over to starboard, you know, the rudder hard over. And if you ever see a video of it, you'll see a giant aircraft carrier that's doing it's like a bank, like it's drifting around, like it's a little sports car or something. They'll run these things very, very hard. They'll run every piece of machinery as hard as it will possibly go. They'll purposely run it through terrible storms. They'll even set giant 5,000-pound bombs off right next to the aircraft carrier in the water. just to see how it will react. If we set this giant bomb off, simulating the enemy throwing bombs at it, how's it going to react? The shipbuilder doesn't hate the ship. They're not doing these because they hate the ship. Quite the contrary. They love the ship, and they want to show the world how strong it is. I've looked at 6 points today about joy. 6 ways to obtain joy, this joy that's necessary in the life of a believer. Joy in the presence of God. Do you take time to be with Him every day? It's hard. Joy in the fruit of the Spirit. Do you ask for a fresh filling every day? Joy in acknowledging and experiencing our salvation. If you don't have joy in your salvation, you will never draw others to Adonai. If salvation for you is being saved from hellfire, that's not joy, that's relief. It's a different thing. Your salvation needs to be thankfulness in your eternal life. It's not just getting out of a penalty. Joy in devouring God's word. God's word should be your best meal of the day. A spiritual meal bringing knowledge of the truth. But not just something to save you from starvation. Not just something to save you as a last resort. Joy is in a restored relationship with God. Search for any barriers. These next 19 days, search for any barriers between you and God and teshuvah. Turn back. Joy is in testing. Because one who is tested is one who God is strengthening for greater things. Tehillim 89:16 through 18 says, "How happy are the people who know the joyful shout. They walk in the light of your presence. They rejoice in your name all day and are lifted up by your righteousness. For you yourself are the strength in which the they glory. Our power grows by pleasing you. Our shield comes from Adonai. Our king is from the Holy One of Israel." Tehillim 70, verse 5, says, "May all those who seek to be glad and take joy in you." All these things that I've listed, these 6 points, plus all the other blessings that are found in the Torah in this chapter, they have one thing in common. Whether it's the being in His presence or having confidence in salvation or the gifts of the Spirit or being saved from an enemy or knowledge of His word or some material blessing or some testing, they all have one thing in common. They're all an experience with God. The results, the things God gives us, doesn't bring joy. He can give us all the money and things in the world that will not bring joy. The results don't bring joy. The experience of God brings joy. Focusing on that experience of God is more important than focusing on whatever fruit He happens to be giving you at that point, good or bad. All the good things in the scripture, the mitzvot, the moedim, the rituals, the blessings, even salvation, must be an experience with God, a relationship, not just an action. Not just a prayer or a belief. We're not just commanded to serve God. We're commanded to serve God joyfully. Anything else is a sin and doesn't meet his standard. Shabbat shalom. Let's go before Abba.